Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. So it is my pleasure to present my master's capstone project entitled Soul Fathers as Health Educators, a pilot project to increase ANC and PMTCT uptake in Gondar, Ethiopia. So the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'd like to spend my time today talking about a few key things. The first is giving you an overview of the organization that I worked with. The second is talking about my methodology in Ethiopia, and the third is just talking about a couple key results. So I did my project with Strengthening Care Opportunities Through Partnership in Ethiopia, which is also known as SCOPE. Now, SCOPE is a global partnership between the University of Washington's Department of Global Health in Seattle, University Presbyterian Church in Seattle, the University of Gondar in Ethiopia, and the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And SCOPE aims to improve linkages between religious leaders and medical practitioners in Ethiopia in order to improve maternal and child health outcomes. So they work in Gondar, Ethiopia, which is in the Amhara region, sort of in the north. A couple key things to know about the Amhara region. Gondar in particular, 87% of residents identify as Orthodox Christian. And Orthodoxy is really very deeply ingrained into Gondar's culture. As one key informant said to me, when my mother is sick, she calls her priest before she calls her doctor. A couple other key things to know just about Ethiopia in general before we get into this project. The first is that Ethiopia has very low rates of ANC uptake. So in 2011, only 34% of pregnant women were attending ANC care. Only 10% of those women gave birth with an assisted attendant. And then only 6% followed up for care after giving birth. The second thing is that Ethiopia has very high HIV prevalence. So in 2000, low estimates are around 800,000 people living with HIV/AIDS. More current estimates are around 1.2 million. And the third thing to know is that there are very many priests in Ethiopia and very few doctors. So the ratio of priests to doctors nationwide is 250-1. So knowing all of this information, that there's high HIV prevalence, there's low uptake of ANC, and there are a lot of priests and very few doctors, the aim of my project was to see if there was a way that we could integrate religious leaders into Gondar's healthcare delivery system. And the secondary aim of this was really to evaluate the successes of this project, understand some of the key barriers we faced, and then decide whether or not this pilot project was something that we could take to scale in the Amhara region. So behind me you see an image of Woleka Health Center. We chose this as our pilot site for a couple of reasons. It offers ANC, PMTCT services, and antenatal care, but uptake of those services has been really limited. So in the 2012-2013 year, Woleka only hit 28% of its annual target for women accessing ANC. As you'll see, it appears to be really rural. So Gondar is a fairly urban, large city in Ethiopia. This health center is located just 4 kilometers north on a paved road. But once you get off this paved road, it's very rural and hard to traverse, and Ethiopia's terrain is very hilly. So I was there doing this project during the rainy season, in which many of these roads and walkways get washed out, which makes it even more difficult for women to come access care. So my methodology is multifold, so stick with me while I go through it. So the first thing we did was we selected participants. And what we did was we partnered with the North Gondar Diocese, which is basically the arm of the church in Gondar that is in charge of all of the priests, and had them select one priest and one religious woman from each of the 4 neighborhoods, which are called kabelis in Amharic. We decided to have the North Gondar Diocese select participants because we wanted to use existing religious frameworks and existing social frameworks. The next thing that we did was held trainings. So these trainings were led by the University of Gondar staff and religious leaders from the Orthodox Church. You'll see below an image of one of those trainings taking place. We held them at the health center because we wanted to begin building those relationships between religious leaders and health center staff, which until date really don't interact with each other at all. So over the course of these 3 days, Gondar staff religious leaders held trainings on their key topics. So for example, we're seeing a training on the epidemiology of HIV happening here. People led trainings on ANC, PMCTC, the importance of partner testing. Priests came and gave talks about how they believed other priests should be integrating religion and antiretrovirals. So for example, instead of telling people that are living with HIV to just use holy water to cure their disease, they're now telling them they should take their antiretrovirals with holy water at the same time. And then also we had a chance to practice some outreach strategies and do that with them. So after this training, participants used a snowball method to identify pregnant women who weren't coming for care. So they would go house to house in their respective neighborhoods and ask if there was a pregnant woman there, speak to her, her husband, her mother-in-law, and identify whether or not she was coming. And then they'd ask that pregnant woman, do you know of any other pregnant women who are accessing care? Essentially, they use their social networks and community positions to spread information. So in addition to doing this home-to-home outreach, priest gave sermon on HIV/AIDS, one of the religious women owned a shop, so when people came to her shop, she would give education. So essentially, they used the information they had in whatever way they saw fit to benefit their community. And then they also attended weekly focus groups at the Willeka Health Center with SCOPE staff. So every week they'd come back in, they talked about what they'd done that week, what barriers they faced, what outreach strategies had worked, what questions people had that they maybe didn't necessarily have answers to from the training. And that gave an additional touch point between health center staff and the religious leaders, but it was also interesting because it created a forum in which religious leaders could give feedback to the health center about how they were serving the community, which really hasn't existed in other forums. So to assess whether or not this was working, I collected some qualitative data. So after the selection and before that three-day training happened, I did baseline interviews with all of the participating religious leaders, and then also with a subset of pregnant women in each of these four neighborhoods. And at the very end of the project, I went back to all those same religious leaders and all those same women to do follow-up interviews to see whether or not this project had any impact on their perceptions and behaviors. At the same time, I led key informant interviews with many people around the city, so I talked to different local health centers, I talked to university staff, talked to the Wareta Health Bureau, which is essentially the top health bureau in Gonder, and then also different community-based organizations who are working in Gonder. And at the same time, I wanted some quantitative data. So we started by developing these scope cards, which are based off of the same cards that health extension workers in Gonder use. Priests would deliver these when they went and met with women and their families, and then the women would bring them back into the health center when they came for care. I also examined Willeka's medical records to see whether or not the cards that we were seeing physically were being reported in the same way, and then also used that to compare uptake to the summer previous to see if there had been any change. Jumping down to the fourth one, I also looked at other uptake in other health centers to see if this was a phenomenon we were seeing across health centers or if this was specific to Willeka. And then finally, I went back to that head health bureau to see whether or not the data that's being reported locally is making it up accurately to the top. So what did I find? And these are some of the priests that we worked with. So I found many, many things, but I'd like to talk about four key results today. So the first is that we did see increased ANC uptake at Willeka. The second is that we noticed changed religious leaders' beliefs about HIV, ANC, and PMTCT in particular. We also were able to identify some key barriers that women verbalized facing. And finally, ultimately, I think we found that this model successfully integrates priests into the healthcare delivery system. So this is a woman who works at Willeka. We found that compared to the previous summer, ANC uptake increased by 20%, which is really exciting. These are some of the key priest perceptions that we looked for in our key informant interviews and our baseline surveys. So the first was believing that HIV is a punishment from God, which very few of the priests did believe, but it was cut in half. Believing HIV was a serious disease, priests were able to understand the modes of HIV transmission and then convey those to their parishioners, understanding the importance of voluntary counseling and testing, understanding the importance of partner testing, understanding what PMTCT is and why it matters also. So you'll see a large increase in those perceptions. The other thing that was really interesting to me personally was identifying key barriers women said. So perhaps unsurprisingly, lack of information, lack of knowledge was a very big one. Women talked about not really knowing what antenatal care was. A very big perception was that you only go when you're feeling really ill. Transportation, also unsurprisingly, was an enormous barrier. What I found really interesting was bad past experiences and services were identified as really keeping women from care. So either they or a sister or a friend had gone to a health center and had been ill and had taken medication and had side effects, or also feeling like they weren't welcome at the health center was an enormous barrier, so feeling like people weren't friendly or didn't want them there. Workload and traditions were also barriers. And the other thing that was really interesting to me was you'll see at the bottom, consecutive births and unplanned pregnancy were both barriers to women accessing care. And part of what they verbalized was the shame they felt about having too many children or the shame they felt about not wanting this child, and that actually prevented them from going physically to the health center because they felt that would make it more known to the community that they were pregnant. And the last thing, for the last key finding I want to talk about is the integration of religion with health. So behind me you'll see a quote from someone that said, "Last week we gave education at the church on PMTCT. After the sermon, one pregnant woman contacted us and said she had not been tested for HIV, but her husband had not. She said to us, 'Please tell him to go.' So I went to her husband. The husband was afraid to be tested, but I convinced him to be tested. He went to Olathe and was very excited when his HIV test came back negative." So this is a quote from our participating priest that he shared at one of our focus group meetings. And I think that this story is interesting for three really key reasons. The first is that in this model, you see the priests are able to see the fruits of their labor. So after they went and visited the women, they go back and check up with them and see if they'd actually fallen through and gone. And that allowed the women to convey to the priests, "Oh, I went. My fetus wasn't moving before, but now it is. I'm feeling a lot more positive about my pregnancy." And I think that that has very powerful implications about the sustainability of this model, because participants can see that their efforts are benefiting their community. The second thing I think is really interesting about the story is we see a woman using a priest to advocate for her interests in her romantic relationship. So in Gondar, males traditionally have authority over all family decisions, which include their family's health decisions. And here we see a woman entrusting her priest to go to her husband and advocate for her interests. And the third thing about the story is the end, which is not pictured here, which is that this man was so excited about the information that he had that then he asked that priest to train him so that he could go out into the community and do what the priest had been doing. And I think that has powerful connotations about the importance of empowering local leaders and giving them the information to then empower other people to lead. So in conclusion, I think these findings suggest this project is positioned to address limited knowledge, which we saw was a key barrier, low partner involvement, fear, and past negative experiences. Over and over again, key informants reiterated to me that priests are the most trusted people in the community over anyone else, and that you cannot improve health outcomes in Gondar, particularly around pregnancy and maternity, without involving priests and having them advocate for healthcare to their parishioners. I think that this project is, the way that it's structured, utilizes local resources, which tailors then outreach to local cultural situations, and therefore is probably a low-cost solution engaging hard-to-reach populations in care. So this project would not have been possible without many key figures, particularly to the Scope Board and University Presbyterian Church, the participation of the North Gondar Diocese and the University of Gondar, and many key individuals. So thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to take questions. So I think there are a couple key things that Scope needs to think about moving forward, which they actually have gotten a grant to then move this to some other health centers, and this past summer we're doing that. The first, which I didn't have time to talk about in this presentation, is the financial support. So priests were paid for their time. They're paid about 300 BRR, which is equivalent to about 28 American dollars. And I think that that is a problem and also really important, because it was a time-intensive project, right? Priests spent hours every week walking to different homes around their communities, and then going back to visit women. So financially, we wanted to provide an incentive, which I think is important, because most of these priests can't make a living off of just being a priest because they live in such poor areas, so they have to have another job on top of it. The other issue is that ultimately we want to make this project where one in which you're not paying people for their time and it becomes ingrained. It's time intensive on the part of the trainers at the beginning and then the priests at the end. I think ultimately if Scope has the resources to do this in a couple different communities, many of the priests, so this payment went through actually December after I'd left, and many of the priests continued doing this work even when they were not being paid because they felt like it was so vital to the health of their communities.
Mm-hmm.
So Not That I Heard Of is the short answer. The only really gender-based violence was one of the young women who was maybe 13 or 14. Her pregnancy was the result of a rape, and that was one of the reasons that she was not willing to come for care. It was also interesting being an outsider, so there was an Ethiopian fellow that I was paired with, but he was male, of course, and I think that that is a topic that just was so sensitive that because of the background that I come from, there wasn't enough connection there for women to speak to that. I know that it is an issue in that area, but it didn't seem like something, in my outside conversations, it was very normalized, but within any of the instances of my key informants, no one spoke about that as a barrier, but I know that the research indicates that that is. Any other questions? All right, thank you, everyone.